This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Oh. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. You have a multitude of insurance needs. They handle them all. They will do everything they can to save you money. That may include bundles or, where need be, going over state lines. And customer service means everything to them, and giving back to the community does as well. Don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, Wednesday, August 7th, at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Get your team together now for that. We're looking forward to being there. You meet a lot of great people in this business along the way. And
Steve, I don't have Gabe yet.
Okay, we'll get him.
Okay.
But you meet a lot of great people in this business along the way, which makes the business so much fun. And that I enjoy so much about it. Because, you know, you're not on the air doing games all the time. That's why I talk, you know, I speak so glowingly about people like Jack Ham and Dick Girardi, because you spend as much time with them off the air as you do on. And they just make the job great. Well, you do that at a tournament like Coaches versus Cancer. In a tournament like Coaches versus Cancer, for example, it brings back so many guys. I saw Jerry Dunn. I saw Bruce Parkhill. I saw Pete Lisicki. I saw Danny Earle. I saw, you know, you're going on through the long list of people, you know, Bruce Blake and Titus Ivory. And it was just one after another. It was just really great. And it's just, in the end, you just feel so fortunate because of the people you're around. People mean so much, good people. And don't ever take it for granted. Never. Because to me, that's important. It's really important along the way. And it's something I've never taken for granted. I just feel like I've been so fortunate to meet the people I've met and enjoy being around them. And all of you out there. I've met so many of you along the way. Just treat me so well. I mean, really great. And so I can't begin to tell you how much you do mean, because you do. You mean a lot. You mean a lot. So this is one of those slower days, news-wise, which in a lot of ways is good. Yeah, I know the Panthers beat the Rangers last night. Edmonton is Dallas tonight. Imagine how they feel in Dallas right now. We've got the Mavericks in. The Stars are right in the thick of it to try and get to the Stanley Cup final. The Texas Rangers are the defending world champions. I know the Cowboys are the ones that make a tick, and they're the ones that, like, that disappoint them the most. It's amazing, though. The other three teams, you got a world champion, you got one playing for the championship, and one still in the running for a championship. It's not bad. Not bad. Pittsburgh knows that feeling. Having everybody good at the same time. They've had that happen before. Philadelphia's had some of that. And this Philly season right now is shaping into being a very, very special one. They can keep the band together. And again, they've gone through. Remember I was talking about Kristaps Porzingis in the first half hour? The Celtics haven't had him, yet they've kept winning. They won seven in a row without him. Well, look at the Phillies. Trey Turner was considered to be a critical piece, and they have not had him for weeks and just keep winning. The starting pitching is tremendous. Their defense has been really good. Their offense is special. I love watching this team hit. And they play hard, too. They play hard. They are an embodiment of what that city is. They play hard. So, yeah. Interesting. We were talking today about, as a group, about expansion, and you know that keeps coming up. I believe, let's see, it's the latest one here. Guy put out a tweet. Clemson has filed a motion for partial summary judgment in its suit versus the ACC in South Carolina. This could lead to a faster ruling on grant of rights and who owns Clemson's TV rights if the Tigers leave the ACC before 2036. The question is whether it's Clemson or the league. The way I understand it is the league does. The league's the one that negotiated the contract. Clemson individually did not negotiate the contract. Clemson was one of those who approved the contract. See, that's the difference. It was the ACC that negotiated the contract. Clemson was one of the group at that time of 15 that approved the contract. Okay. But Clemson had nothing to do with the negotiation except the thumbs up or thumbs down. The ACC did the negotiating. Now, I'm not going to sit there and pretend that I know the exact wording of the contract with ESPN. I have read a version of the grant of rights, and they're pretty straightforward and simple. And it's not, remember I was telling you about the settlement agreement between the NCAA and House, Grant House. And when they brought the agreement to the conferences last week to give a thumbs up or thumbs down, the agreement's 13 pages. These are not extensive deals. It's 13 pages. So, and that's why I find that, you know, something that's interesting about this. These are not those 500-page, 2.5 billion clauses, and so forth. They're very simple agreements. I mean, the grant of rights are 5 to 8 pages long. This settlement agreement's 13 pages. Sure, there's legalese in there.
I feel like Oklahoma or Texas could afford attorneys that would be smart enough to figure out if they could break those or not, and they didn't figure out if they could break them or not, so they must be pretty unbreakable.
Excellent point. They waited till the end. That's always, as you know, Todd, that's been one of my points. One of my points has been simple about this. You talk about the money that Texas, let's just take Texas in particular. I mean, Oklahoma has some oil money behind it, too. But Texas, we know, has a lot of money. Okay. Well, it was in 2021 where they shocked the world and announced that they were going to go to the SEC, and the SEC shocked the world and said, hey, yeah, they're coming in. Well, where did they play in 21? In the Big 12. Where did they play in 22? The Big 12. Where did they play in 23? The Big 12. At this particular hour, what conference are they still in? The Big 12. When they finally broke away in a mutual negotiated settlement, it was for the final year of their agreement with the Big 12. 1 year, and it cost them $50 million each. between exit fee and grant of rights fee, $50 million each, because they finally got it down to the point that was palatable for everybody. If you're Clemson and Florida State under the same scenario, you're looking at nine figures to get out of deals. If you're using Texas and Oklahoma as a barometer, because the ACC asked the Big 12 for their grant of rights agreement, because the Big 12 was first, and their grant of rights agreement is modeled after the Big 12's. Well, if they're modeled after it, the language has got to be pretty close. And if Texas and Oklahoma, with a lot of money and attorneys behind them, decided that, hey, look, the last year's the right year to go at $50 million each, what does that tell you about where Florida State and Clemson are? That's the part in all this where emotion is played a lot in the, hey, let's get Florida State. Hey, let's get Clemson. The ACC's breaking up. That very well may be true, but the ability to get out of it is exponentially more difficult than people realize, because we have examples of it. And if you are the Big Ten, let's just take the Big Ten. Oregon and Washington came into the league, right? And Todd, what did they get? Half shares of the TV contract with a $1 million escalator each year until the final year of the deal. Then when they negotiate the new TV contract after that, they're full partners. But they got half shares because they came in 1 year after the deal had been signed, and Tony Petitti was able to convince Fox, hey, if we bring in Oregon and Washington, can you front the half shares to make this work? And Fox said yes. Well, you're telling me Florida State and Clemson are going to come into the Big Ten and they're going to get full shares right away? Really? Oregon and Washington were told, nah, we're going to get you in here, but we can't give you the full boat. Because they can't afford to give them the full boat. Especially now with this $22 million deal that everybody's going to have to come up with. Nobody's in the mood to forfeit any money that they're bringing in. And for Oregon and Washington, if Florida State and Clemson came in at full shares, that would be incredibly unfair to them. They're already members now. Right? I mean, am I off base on this?
I was going to say, it'd probably make for some contentious league meetings for the next couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, but it wouldn't be right.
No.
If you're Oregon and Washington, it's like, well, what do you mean they're coming in at full shares? Now, UCLA and USC came in at full shares, but they came into the conference a year before, and they had applied to be in the league while they were doing the TV negotiations, and thus when they were factored into the TV negotiations, everybody got more money. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now the deals are set. And that's the same thing with the SEC. The SEC is in agreement with ESPN. They're going to give more money to get Florida. I mean, they're already paying for Florida State and Clemson. Why do they want to pay more?
The SEC went to ESPN and asked for more money, and they'd play a ninth conference game, and that was turned down, I read yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. ESPN is already paying for Florida State and Clemson at a per-year basis. Why do they want to pay more to have them in the SEC? If I'm ESPN, I'm looking around like, no, we don't want to do that. Why would they want to do that? That makes no sense. See, there's certain elements of common sense here that don't add up. They don't make any sense. The Pac-12 breaking up, it happened because of timing. All because of timing. The timing of the deal with the Pac-12, which is married to the grant of rights, means that everybody ended up leaving the Pac-12 seamlessly. There is no exit fee because the grant of rights naturally expired. Oh. USC and UCLA played it out. Played last year. All right? The whole deal. And let the grant of rights will naturally run out on August 1st. That's when the TV deal officially exits. August 2nd, they're full members. Oregon and Washington, same thing. Grant of rights ran out. Will run out for each of them on August 1st. They'll become members on August 2nd. Every team that went to the Big 12, Utah, Arizona State, Colorado, same story. No exit fee. Grant of rights will seamlessly run out. They will seamlessly go to the Big 12. Stanford and Cal, same thing going to the ACC. See, that's why this happened. Because you did not have the impediment of exit fees, and you did not have the impediment of the grant of rights in the Pac-12 case. That's why 10 of the 12 ended up going someplace else to... Now, Stanford and Cal, no. They were looking for a lifeboat. But everybody else went for greener pastures, the other eight. And guess what? They also get the chance to just start getting the money without owing anything. You don't have that in the ACC. You don't have that. And there's just a lot of... there's too much of an attitude of contracts are made to be broken, which I don't quite get. I don't understand that. Well, it's easy to get out of a contract. Well, why bother signing something? Maybe none of us should have contracts. I mean, I know I have contracts. I take it seriously. I don't know.
No holdouts this fall?
No, I'll probably show up. But I'll give you an example, and this is a while ago. There's one contract that I had with Penn State that when I signed it was good, and then I found out that what I signed compared to others, okay, wasn't, it should have been better. How about that? And I'm going back 19 years ago, okay? And that, did I go in and demand more? No. I signed it. I signed it in good faith. I let it run out. But when it came time to negotiate the next one, I then used that as a chip to get what I thought was the fair rate. But I played it out for the last couple of years of it. Like, I was like, okay, this is fine, but gee, it should have been way better because I had more information in my hands. Right? That was on me. I mean, that was on me. There's no question about it. But I didn't go in and demand more. The reason I didn't go in and demand more is I signed it in good faith. That was on me. Okay. When it came time to sit down and talk about it, okay. You know, I got it done. And it worked out great, and they've been great ever since. But, you know, I had one that was like, But I didn't go and go, wow, hey. And no, that's maybe not part of that's my personality, but part of it was, hey, I signed it. So it was my obligation to do a great job, make sure I was in a position to get a better one the next time through. Today's attitude is, yeah, I can break those things. That's the attitude? We'll take you to court and sue? Come on. Can't be that way. Hey, by the way, Matt Fortuna of The Athletic put out on X that Black Friday, all right, is now a big college football day. Okay? So get this. This is the Black Friday lineup. ACC game to be determined on ESPN at noon. Oklahoma State at Colorado, ABC noon. Minnesota at Wisconsin, CBS noon. Oregon State at Boise State on Fox, noon, which means it's 10 a.m. there. Ball State at Ohio University, on ESPNU or CBS Sportsnet, noon. Miami of Ohio at Bowling Green, ESPNU or CBS Sportsnet, noon. 3:30 Mississippi State at Ole Miss, the Egg Bowl game, ABC, 3:30. CBS Sportsnet, 3:30, Liberty at Sam Houston. 3:30, Texas State at South Alabama, ESPN+. 4 o'clock, Stanford is at San Jose State on CBS. 7:30, Iowa at Nebraska on NBC. 7:30, Georgia Tech at Georgia, ABC. And Utah at UCF on Fox at 8 o'clock. Those are all games on Black Friday. Talk about going all in on a day.
That's a shame. I probably won't see any of them. That's usually a travel day for me for a state play, state football playoff game.
Right. Right. Well, for me, Black Friday. No, Black Friday. I'm home. Black Friday. I'm home. In fact, I've got a game at Minnesota on the 23rd. The 24th, I have to fly to Florida. I've got the games in Daytona Beach on the 24th and 25th. Fly back on the 25th. And so the 26th of Wednesday, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, I'm here. Because Penn State has a home game with Maryland on the 30th. So, I mean, yeah, I'll kick back, and I fairly admit I'm going to do nothing. I'll go to Fast Friday over at Lash Building in the afternoon, which takes an hour. And that's going to be it, babe. I'm done. I am going to relax. I'm going to enjoy it. So, all right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And by the way, did you see what happened with Gable Steveson, the great Minnesota wrestler?
Saw he signed with the Bills.
Yep, national champion, Olympic gold medalist. He has signed a contract with the Buffalo Bills to play defensive line. It's going to be very interesting to see how that works out. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts, freshen out every day. 6 great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Why don't you drive over and stock up now? Yeah, you get ready for the weekend. It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. You want to make sure you're fully stocked and ready to go. You know, start thinking about the 4th of July, too. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online. At SunburyMotors.com. Do we have the king yet?
We do not.
We do not have the king yet.
We're on a roll this hour.
Well, yeah, I wonder if it has to do with me. Let's see here. I don't have a text from today. Do you have his number?
I have it, like, in a file. I can get it.
Well, give him a call.
All right.
See if he's, I can text him, see if he's still alive.
Yeah. That might help, too.
Yeah. Let's see. Because he was all set to go last week, and I forgot. He's the one guy I forgot to get a hold of last week. I had to tell him. He says, I tell him I was in Columbus. And here, America, await your wisdom. There we go. There you go. Let's see if that has any impact. I vote no. Because he did call in. He said, there's no answer to the radio station. I said, I'm thinking to myself, I felt like 2 inches tall. I got back to him when I was done with my round out there. Ugh, brutal.
I did that last week. I have the soccer stuff, and they canceled practice last Wednesday. And I could have swore I texted my wife, and I did not. She's like, we've been sitting here for 10 minutes, and there's nobody here at the soccer field. There's nobody coming to the soccer field, honey.
I don't think so.
No. Whoops.
Yeah, that's always the best one. Whoops.
Whoops.
Sorry about that. Now, whoops does indicate that, like, I kind of blew it. And you're admitting fault. How about that?
It implies.
Oops.
There's a lot of implication there.
Oops is a benign way of admitting fault. A message from this station and the ad council. Yeah, Gable Steveson. That's interesting. That's an interesting experiment. Because remember, the Hasselrig, Carlton Hasselrig from UPJ, ended up getting to the NFL and actually for a period of time played well in the NFL on the defensive line. Like, okay. But, I mean, it's not like it hasn't been done before.
I just think it's kind of, I think wrestling kind of did him raw by, or pro wrestling did him raw by letting him, you know, be able to almost qualify for the Olympic team and then not let him wrestle off for the Olympics and then get rid of him a year later when he probably could have made the Olympics.
Right. Exactly.
I don't think there was any doubt that he would have been the heavyweight favorite if he would have been in those Olympic trials at the Jordan Center.
That's right. And exactly. And you're right. They did do him wrong with how that played out. So he's going to give this a shot. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out because if you're going to play defensive line at any time, there's a couple of elements you need. You need to have technique on low takeoff because low man wins. And you also have to be violent with your hands. And that's something I talk to Deion Barnes about all the time here at Penn State, about which guys are violent with their hands. And because that makes a difference. And that's something that he is going to have to... we'll find out whether... for him, that he can do that or not. Because your ability to use your hands up front, not grab people or anything like that, but the violence with which you use it... There you go. You know, I think that's...
I was going to say a strong head slap. Well, I guess you can't technically head slap anymore, but you get what I mean.
Yeah, that goes back to the Deacon Jones days.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. David Deacon Jones, who played for the Rams, mostly. I think he closed his career with the Chargers or something like that. It's kind of like when Johnny Unitas played for the Chargers. You have to be kidding me. But Deacon Jones was with the Rams, and he was just a football terror out there. And that head slap was a major weapon, which was allowed back then. I mean, can't do it today. But he was the master at it. He was the master.
I do not have Kevin. I do have Dick from Milton.
Well, okay, that's a fine substitution. Hello, Dick from Milton. How are you today?
I just took a break. I got off my lawnmower listening to your show. I want to make this quick. So in 2000, I worked the. I probably told you this. I worked the floor table at Bryce Jordan, the NCAA wrestling tournament, and on Thursday, one of the matches was Kale Sanderson, and I also had Brock Lesnar. But in the finals, Brock Lesnar lost. He was a junior. He lost to Stephen Neal from Cal State Bakersfield.
I remember.
And he went on with an all-pro career at New England Patriots.
Yeah.
He did not play football in college. They didn't have football out there. So it can be done, and he had a heck of a career.
Yeah, he did have a heck of a career. And I remember that when Lesnar lost.
I mean, he didn't play defensive line; he played offensive line. And he has a YouTube video if you want to watch it. How much wrestling really helped him with professional football.
And I think that's important because it does give you the footwork, your ability to use your hands. It does
that's
all
it.
That.
Hand fighting in the foot and his stance and the footwork was a lot of it.
Right. The one thing that when you do play, though, that does come into play, and it does come into play with wrestling as well, low man wins. So if you have the footwork, the hands, and understand the technique of low man wins, and that means not being on your back.
That's not going to work for everybody, but if a guy is a fantastic athlete, and obviously Stephen Neal was a really good athlete, he would have never beaten Brock Lesnar at any time. And obviously he was a decent football player to win an NCAA wrestling championship at heavyweight. He had to be pretty darn good. So, I mean, not everybody that transitions is that good of an athlete.
Oh, no, and not everybody can do it. I mean, let's take track guys, right? Bob Hayes, as a track guy, made a great transition to the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. But Jimmy Hines, you're looking at Bob Hayes, the 64 gold medalist in Tokyo. Jimmy Hines was the gold medalist in Mexico City, and he didn't make a transition with the Dolphins. So you're right.
Yeah.
It just depends on who you are and how you make it work.
I saw Bob Hayes play in the Cotton Bowl with the Dallas Cowboys against the Green Bay Packers in an exhibition game when I came back from Southeast Asia. We went up there and saw it was at the time I didn't appreciate it. I was 20 years old. I did not appreciate what I was even seeing, how good these guys were at that time with the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they were unbelievable. You know, Kramer and Jim Kramer Horning and Fuzzy Thurston. I mean, really good. And Hayes.
Well, it's interesting about Bob Hayes. When they played the Ice Bowl game in Green Bay in 1967, New Year's Eve 67, Bob Hayes tipped off all the plays. You want to know why? The Packers noticed that every time it was a running play, Hayes would have his hands inside of his pants to keep them warm, the upper part of the pants right around the belt area.
Yeah.
And every time
there
was a pass play, he would have his hands out. They're like, okay. That's how they figured it out.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I got off my lawnmower long enough to tell you about Brock Lesnar and Stephen Neal and wrestling and football. I thought it was interesting. I'll let you go, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Very interesting. Thank you so much. That was very interesting. All right. No news?
Well, no, I picked up the phone to call him, and I thought Dick from Milton was Kevin, and I answered the phone.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs Maintenance take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, and Todd with good news. The king is with us.
Hey, man.
There he is.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No, good.
That's what I say. That's what I say. Oh, good.
I just got back. I was out on the road, so.
Yeah. It's fine. So, I mean, do we do any trivia here since we got a few minutes, or what are we going to do?
Oh, I got one.
Go ahead. Go for it. Let's have some fun.
When's the last time a Canadian team won the Stanley Cup?
1993, Montreal Canadiens.
Oh, that's not fair. Okay. I thought that was amazing, you know? Hockey is Canada's sport, you know? And they have not won a Stanley Cup in that long.
And I know.
It came to mind because I've been watching all the games, and Edmonton's the only Canadian team left. And that dawned on me. I said, when's the last time Canada won a cup? Any team that long ago.
Well, it's amazing because they won it in the spring of 93. The Blue Jays then won the World Series in the fall of 93. And the Raptors won the NBA championship in 2019. So the Canadians aren't even the last team from Canada to win a championship.
Wow. Wow. That fascinates me. I mean, it really has nothing to do with anything, you know, because a lot of the players are from Canada anyway. But
sure.
Boy, how about Dallas taking down Minnesota that easily?
Took them apart. First of all, Dallas is excellent at isolation defense. So when teams are trying to run isolation, that one-on-one stuff, Dallas is terrific at taking it apart because P.J. Washington's become an excellent defender. Derek Lively is an excellent defender. And as everybody knows, we're so thrilled for Derek because Derek grew up here. But they're terrific at it, which then allows them offensively to then get going with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic, but it's their isolation defense that makes a big difference.
How do you think they match up with Boston?
Well, the Celtics rely a lot on isolation. And this is where the series, they do need Kristaps Porzingis back, because the entire key to winning a series is, can you put out a matchup that is problematic for the opposition? Porzingis is problematic as a matchup for Dallas. And that's why they need him back. Because, again, the Celtics run a lot of isolation with Brown and Tatum, and Dallas is excellent at defensive isolation. That's where Porzingis has to come into play.
It's got to get pretty nasty there with Kyrie Irving. They hate him in Boston.
But you know what?
I mean,
a friend of mine was working for the Celtics, and he told me when he was with the Celtics that he went to Danny Ainge, and he told him, the guy's a cancer. And Danny Ainge says, no, 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 no. And then Ainge got back to him halfway through the season and said, I think you're right. Now, it seems like in Dallas, it seems like in Dallas, to his credit, he has fit in seamlessly with everybody with the Mavericks. And I think it's made a big difference. But in Cleveland, Boston, and Brooklyn, it was a problem.
I wonder if it's the coach, where Jason Kidd was a point guard. You know, they played the same position.
Could be.
Is Jason Kidd a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's maybe that's it. Who knows? He definitely has blended in there. But, I mean, he said some bad things about Boston. It's a racist city. It's this and that. Then he went on center court after Brooklyn played him one night and ground his foot into Happy the Leprechaun. And somebody threw a bottle and hit him in the head. So,
other than that, it went really well.
Well, the other thing that's kind of crazy is, like, one guy, I listened to the talk radio in Boston, he called up, he said, you know what, the cheapest seat at Boston, I still call it the Boston Garden, the cheapest seat is $850. That's for the nosebleeds. You're not going to get the people at the games that are going to boo him and do whatever. It's going to be very corporate. So,
that's the way sports has become across the board. It's become so corporate. That's why some of the more emotional crowds have been the crowds that through circumstances were let into the building. I remember when the Mariners, when the Kingdome had the ceiling fall down, so they put them on the road the rest of the year. Well, those became extra home games for teams. And they aren't in the season ticket package, so they, you know, people were, you know, Detroit, Boston, New York, Baltimore, they're all selling the tickets for $20 a piece to let anybody in. Everybody says it's the best crowds they ever played in front of. They'll tell you the best crowd they ever played in front of. Wimbledon on Sunday. They never play Sunday. One year, so much rain, they backed it up. They had to play on Sunday. All the players said it was the greatest experience ever because suddenly the common person was in there.
Well, I remember, like, a World Series, you know, and this guy calling me up and saying, hey, look at Pesky Pole. And I said, well, okay, I'll look at Pesky Pole. And then there's a guy sitting in the seat waving. And, that was you.
Yeah. The definition of a common person.
Get those seats.
I got those seats through MBNA. That's who I got. Patrick Scholl, and Patrick, of course, has since passed away. But Patrick got the seats through MBNA. That's how I got in.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I'm saying, that the regular fan can't get that seat. No way. There's no way that seat's available.
Oh,
and
exactly.
It's going to, I mean, you're a Red Sox fan, so that was cool, but a lot of Red, you know, these big games go to corporate buyouts big time.
Yep, no doubt. Yeah, and what happens is that sometimes they'll bring with it the wine and cheese crowd. Oh, lovely. It sounds like a par on 17. There we go. That's nice. Say they scored a run. All right. Great to hear from you. We'll talk next week.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Todd, have a great weekend.
You too, fellas.
Bye, Todd. See you, Todd.
Well, it was another fun week. Find out that the suit doesn't know the difference between the YMCA and the United Way. Thought that was exciting.
They're both charities.
Yeah. He texted me and he says, did I really write that? Like, yeah.